The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 691. It's the 23rd of January, 2017. On the podcast today, I have John Peters, Managing Director of Strategic Minerals at SML. John covers progress at the company and gives us three reasons of why you should add them to your watch list. Plus, I also have Oil and Gas Sector Authority Malky talking about Sound Energy, SOU. Today's suggested one for your watch list is Connemara Mining, a CON, submitted by Afsal and Smudge Dan, who's a regular on the podcast. And also, as normal, I have the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets platform in the last 24 hours. There's a brand new number one. And I'll give you a clue. It was recently suggested as one for your watch list on this podcast. Also, as always, the top five most liked RNSs on the Vox Markets platform this morning.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Peters, Managing Director of Strategic Minerals. That's SML ticker. John, thanks for coming back on. It's been a while.
It's been a while, and the funny thing is, here in Sydney, Australia, the line's clear as, and the only other time I had a bad line with you, I was in when you interviewed me.
That's right, you were in London, I think, yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a good job you're there in Sydney.
I was on the street.
Yeah, that's right. Today in London, or in the UK, we are just blanketed in fog. It's freezing fog. It's not very nice. What's the weather like over there?
Well, I had to put the air conditioner on because it was too hot.
Nice. Well, you're best staying over there for a while anyway. So, John, as always, when someone comes to the podcast, I like to remind people who are new to the podcast or have not heard of the company what you're all about. So can you tell us what Strategic Minerals are all about, what your projects are you have going on there, please?
Yeah, look, Strategic Minerals, we're very much different probably from any other of the small miners on AIM, in that we actually have an active cash flow that is actually going to make us a profit this year, from 2016, and we believe we're targeting one for 2017. So we actually keep the lights on ourselves. And we do that through our producing asset, which is Cobre, which is a magnetite stockpile in the US. And we worked on that, and we've got the level of sales up there. As you know, magnetite hasn't been the greatest for prices, but we sell in a domestic market only at the moment over there. So, you know, we're doing quite well. That's driving our profits at the moment and covering all our overheads. And then what we try to do is we try to then add value to the rest of the company through that we undertake. And we only try to raise for those things. And so apart from the operating asset, we've then got a brownfield site. We've got we've put some money into tin tungsten project in Cornwall, Redmore, and there we're in a joint venture with a ASX listed company in a New Age Explorations, and we've had a lot of good positive feedback about that. We're looking to we've put in some money to start some of the process of getting tender the drilling work program, etc. It's already a brownfield site, so a lot's known about it, but it's about taking the asset from a 2.3 million tonne high-grade resource, inferred resource, up to one that's two or three times that additionally. Yeah. So we're looking to fund a program like that, and we're actually bringing money into the joint venture to level ourselves off, to make it 50-50. And we hope to be doing that shortly. And also, on the other side, we also have some greenfields exploration sites in nickel in West Australia. We actually have done some holes there and had some success with that. We've currently got further work being done on that. And we've also got in that company some other sites, and we're intending to drill one of those for both gold and rare earths. So we've got a few things on the play the whole time. We've got cash flow, and we're a bit different in that regard.
Yeah, so you've got sort of exploration going on, but also underpinned by cash flow coming from Cobre. And there was a recent update from Cobre here, recording record sales there, up 24%. And also you've got 400,000 to play with, the settlement. Take us through,
Take us through that. Year, yeah. Yeah, last year we negotiated a settlement on a rail claim that we had. And to be honest, what we received last year mainly probably paid for our legal fees and stuff like that. But this was the first major chunk. And it was $400,000. And we actually put that into our cash flows. We've been working. We got a new client, a new big client, which we've been working on for a while in Cobray. That's pushed those sales up, and we'll push it up again next year. Or this year, sorry, I beg your pardon. I keep forgetting we're into it. And at the same time, that $400,000... I don't know if you remember, but in October, we actually raised some funds as well. We went to the market. We were looking to raise some funds so we could finish off the option to take out the rest of our half of Redmoor. Mm. And we did that. We actually went to the market looking for £400,000, and we got offered $1,715,000, whatever it was. But we, as management, felt that the company was undervalued. That was issued at 40, at 0.4 of a P. And we felt it was undervalued. So we said, no, we'll only take 600 to make sure we had a little bit of a buffer, and we'll rely on this money coming through. So when this money's come through, it's justified management's decision to limit the dilution effect on existing shareholders. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, it's nice to know that we're now in a position that we can exercise this option, which we hope to do shortly.
Yeah, but yes, I remember talking, you know, back when we were in the doldrums, the resource companies, and you were like, I don't know, but around about just, I think, a sub 2 million market cap. And we said, right. You know, at that level, we can see, you know, it's easy for a company to double quite easily, which has happened, you know, and you pretty much, you've laid out the plans there, what you're going to do, you've done them. And so you must be quite pleased that you are sticking to the plan here, John.
I'm pleased that we've done almost everything we said. Justin, you must be upset because you never did buy our shares. And they've gone from about from sub 30 up to about 55 at the moment. Mm. So in the last year or so, we've raised twice at 30 and 40. And all those people, of course, have done quite well. There are some questions about valuations at the moment. But I think the main part is that we said we'd do a few things. We'd restructure the company. We'd invest in look for assets that were in resources that would have good price outlooks, which has turned out to be right, particularly in tin and even with nickel, even though nickel's come back a little bit. So we've actually adopted a strategy. We've stuck to it. We said we'd try and put our overheads to whatever we could get out of Cobra, and we've done that. And so we've really put the company in a good long-term position. It's not, as we said, these markets, everyone downgrades. If you can keep going long enough, the market will revalue you right up. Yeah. And we believe that'll be the case. Although I still believe, even where we are at the moment, I believe we've got quite a bit of upside to us. And particularly if you make a comparison, say, between us and our joint venture partner at Rare Earth, in Rare Earth, Red Bull, the tin tungsten mine. NAE is listed on the ASX, and it's currently around £9.5 million, and we're only about £6.2 million. And I believe we've got the same, if not better, asset structure than they do. And admittedly, that's just my feeling, which either means they're really overvalued or we're really undervalued. And personally, I believe we're really undervalued.
Yeah. So as a person though, John, how do you spread yourself? I mean, you've got, you know, three different areas geographically. Are you getting around them? Are you going to spend more time in Redmoor now, or what's happening here?
Okay, well, look, the truth is what we've done each time is we've tended to couple ourselves with people who've got complementary skills to ourselves. Mm. So, for example, let's take Redmoor. In Redmoor, our joint venture partner, NAE, are very strong on geological side, whereas we're very strong on the corporate deal-making arrangements, the funding, etc. And as a team, we make a good team. We then go, okay, well, we need our people on the ground. And as you may have noticed, we've put out a couple of notes about hiring the right people, and we've paid a little bit more to get the right people. Mm-hmm. We don't just let them run unabated. We set up reporting structures. As I mentioned to you, Justin, this year I'm going to probably come out for a couple of months While I'm based in Sydney, I'm going to spend a couple of months in London this year ahead of our AGM. One, to check up on the project, do a bit of marketing, but also meet some of my key shareholders as well and discuss with them. I'm pretty familiar with a number of them. We recently had one party who increased his holding, is now above 3%. Thank you, Charles. We're seeing people are buying for the longer term with us because they can see that we're undervalued.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So if anyone's not following you now, John, on Vox Markets, can you give us three reasons why they should hit that follow button, please?
Oh, mate. Well, I've already discussed a little bit at length, but I believe we are greatly undervalued at the moment. If, as I mentioned to you, there was about a 35% difference between ourselves and NAE's valuation, and I believe that we will catch that up in time. And in fact, if you look at the charts, a lot of them are suggesting that themselves. The second thing, I guess, is we've got a good management structure in place at the moment. I brought Peter Whale in, one of our major shareholder now. We've got Alan Broom, whose understanding of these markets is just fantastic. He's a very strategic thinker and has helped me a lot in that regard. And I think we've performed well. We've shown that we can manage the company with the right people, and we've done that. We've kept the structures low, so management's very strong. And, of course, the third one is that all it requires is the market take a bit of an upflip, and you've got 2 and 3 times that valuation coming through to us. So we've strategically got a couple of really good assets which we're developing, and as the markets rebound, they should go through the roof.
Yeah, and just looking at the chart there, you are approaching a nice support level, you know? I mean, we've seen back in October, it went up to 1.1 pence, just over that, and then it's come back now and consolidating a bit, you know?
Yeah, but that was if you have a look at the chart, that was a bit of a blimp. Mm. And it wasn't consistent with what was going on around it. And now if you have a look, there's some reasonably nice little upturn trends going along.
Yeah.
And I'm beginning to start to see, I'll be honest, the 50 level, 55 level around that, people are starting to support it a lot more. Mm-hmm. I actually think it's showing signs of the 70-80 range as the next breakout.
Yeah.
And then possibly from there it could run further. But all that depends on what we do, what gets shown. Yeah, there's a few things like that. But frankly, as I said to you, we're an unusual stock in that we don't need to raise money for ourselves. So we can afford to sit around long enough for these assets to really be valued properly in the market.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvellous. John, listen, enjoy the rest of your day there in Sydney. Don't get too hot because we're getting quite cold over here. But enjoy yourself and speak again soon, fella.
Bye-bye, Justin. Thank you very much for your time.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on this fine, I say fine, it's quite foggy where I am, Monday morning, it's Malky, Oil and Gas Sector Authority. You all right, Malky?
Yeah, I'm very well indeed, thanks, Justin. And you?
Yeah, are you surrounded by fog where you are?
Yeah, afraid so. All out to the back garden.
Yeah, okay, all right. So what are we looking at today, Malky?
Well, it was a quiet week for news last week, but there really was a big piece of news from Sound Energy, and so I'm going to talk about Sound Energy this morning, if that's okay. SOU.
Yeah, marvellous. What's happening there with Sound? I know it's highly followed and it's done awfully well. I missed out on buying those at about just over 10 pence, which I'm kicking myself at, but what's happening there, Sound Energy?
Well, I mean, Sound Energy last week had three announcements. Get the two easy ones out of the way first. They've completed the extended well test, which is very good news. They had, it all looked very good. They limited the drawdown and the pressure was good all the way through the different choke ranges, and so they produced just under 1 BCF of gas over the 56 days that they were testing for. They didn't find any water, any barriers. So they're going off and analyse the results there. They're also going to test the pressures at TE5 and TE6. This one was TE7. To see if if there's any connectivity, which is also very important. So, you know, the first big barrier for Sound was always going to be is the extended well test. Would the gas that they've discovered flow over a long period of time? So a couple of boxes nicely ticked there.
Yeah.
The other piece of news was that they've started work on the step-out well, which is going to be TE8, which is 12 kilometres northeast of the TE7 well. And that's another very important thing. I mean, a lot of people said that the valuation of sound is very high, and for some people that means that TE8 has got to come in to make that valuation. I'm not sure that's exactly the case. I've got 3 to 5 BCF in there, but a decent result on the TE8 step out well, which they're going to spud next month, so middle of February, I guess, and so another 60 days from there. But that's going to be very important as well. So that's the bit of sort of news that we had, but in a way, much more importantly, they were in a position to announce that they hope to buy out their partner OGIF, which is a fund which includes the biggest bank in Morocco and the biggest fund manager in Morocco. And obviously they're partners, and they know everything there is to know about the local area. And they, if you're a bank or for money there, so they've got a fantastic opportunity with them. Now they're bidding for their acreage in which is Tendrara, some acreage next to Tendrara called Mirija, and also a bit of option in a relinquished area nearby. And they're bidding in shares, 272 million, I think it was, shares, which in my view is about a 30% discount to the value they've got in the book. And that is extremely good news, because if the TE8 well comes in, then they're going to be looking even better. And as far as I'm concerned, if you look at this, the key thing is going to be that that all the local institutions are going to be on their side. The read across value is going to be much higher than the current share price. I guess that they'll be able to do pretty much anything they like in Morocco if they've got these guys on board, which they will have. I think that if you look at the process. The shareholders, you're quite right to say there've been a lot of shareholders. They've got probably the biggest retail army of shareholders in the marketplace at the moment, who've had a very good run. But this company's getting quite big now. Isn't it? £500 million market cap company. So, I think it's a big, brave move and a very good move by the sound management. To make this step, and I think that the Sound Energy shareholders now there are one or two institutions in there. They've dropped a couple of the lumps of the warrants in, so there are a couple of big institutions in there. Obviously the institutions from OGIF are in there, but this is a development of the company, to be honest. This is Sound becoming bigger and better, and James Parsons and his team at Sound have always said we will become a big company, and they're delivering on that, to be fair. As you say, the value of the business at 500 million is way bigger than when you were looking at it at 10 or 15p this time last year. But it's a good way of making sure that you develop a really big discovery. And of course, for the future, it's really important, because they've actually sort of uncluttered the all the percentages in Tendrara and so on. So, if a big company, a major or someone wants to come in, I mean, Shell have got acreage nearby, but, if anyone wants to have a ready-made gas field, which might be, several TCF of gas, in a part of the world in North Africa where there's a significant demand, not just locally in North Africa, but, of course, the pipelines that go Algeria to the southern Mediterranean and so on, puts them in a very strong position. And a lot of people think that Sound one day will sell the business. So let's see what happens. I think that it's all going to be looking at the TE8 well, sort of February, March, April. And maybe shareholders have, the share price didn't do much on this, to be fair, but it's a £500 million company now, Justin, not a £50 million market company.
Yeah, just looking at the share price, like I said, from last July, it really took off, didn't it? From 16 pence, and then towards September, it went up to touched a pound there, and it's been consolidating now for a while, and it's almost coming down to 68 pence. And you think this is an area where, you know, if anything, there's been previous resistance, which could provide support here at this level, you know?
Yeah, I mean, nothing is a certainty in this one, Justin. I mean, they've got two things to watch out for. And actually, in a way, you know, subject to this deal going through, they've got two, effectively, another two really big wells for the company. They're going to drill TE8, which is 12 kilometres northeast of TA7. So no guarantee that. So I would say that's an exploration well with a bit of appraisal, maybe. And of course, they'll be drilling the Badile well in Italy, in Milan. They're doing that in March, I think. So, you know, ironically enough, as we get to the sort of spring, people will be looking at sound again in terms of well results. But based from, as I say, a £500 million market cap company, not a £50 million market company. So, you know, you're going to need to have a reasonable result to move the needle, as they say.
Yeah.
But I think they'll be in a strong position to do just that.
Yeah, definitely. And also, it's one of the things that when you see a company do this, what they've done, it does give investors a lot of hope, you know, searching around for similar companies, and it breeds a bit of liquidity back into the smaller cap market because, you know, a lot of people are probably de-risked here and they're looking for other plays similar, you know, valuation increase like Sound. So it's good for the market when you see companies do this. So, yeah, it's good work. Marvellous, Marky, thank you very much, and speak next week.
It's my pleasure. Look forward to it, Justin.
All right, it's time for one for your watch list, suggested by Afsal and Smudge Dan. What does the company do? So the ticker there is CON, by the way. Connemara Mining is an active exploration company with principal assets in gold, zinc, silver and lead exploration licenses in Ireland. The company holds interest in 34 licenses as well as 100% owned activities. Connemara has three joint ventures, two with Teck, ranking among the top five zinc producers in the world. All right, how many shares does the company have in issue? That's 75 million shares. What's the current price and market cap? 1.6, market cap around about 1.2 million. What revenue, profit, loss does the company generate? No revenue. In the interims, they lost 96,000 euros for the 6 months to the 30th of June 2016. How much cash or debt does the company have? 495,000. That's pounds at the end of September with no debts. Don't forget, please do your own research on any of the companies suggested here. This is not investment advice, it's just information for you to look into. Also, list the three reasons why people should put this company on their Vox Markets watch list. Number one, funded for current plans and seeking for further joint venture partners. Number two, zinc results imminent, drilled in November by JV partner Teck Ireland and on the Old Castle block, which lies just 20 kilometres from the giant world-class Tara zinc lead mines. And number three, laboratory results awaited on contained grades of silver from the 100% owned NSO in Donegal. So that's Connemara Mining, C-O-N. And please do your own research on that. But they've got cash there and they've got lots of JVs by the look of it. That's today's suggested one for your watch list. If you know of a company that you think should be on other people's watch lists, please click in the form, or fill the form, I should say. Click the link here at voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. Click one of my posts and you'll see the question below where it says, do you know of a stock that you think should be on people's watch list? Click here and fill in the form. So if you do that, it'll bring it to a wider audience. All right. Top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets platform in the last 24 hours are: at five, Energizer Investments, ENGI. At four, Blue Star Capital, BLU. At three, Greatland Gold, GGP. At two, had a heck of a rise today, URU Metals, that's URU ticker. And number one was recently suggested as a one for your watch list. It is Hydrodeck, HYR. And I can see a bit of a hotness about that on social media there. Plus, here we are, the top five most liked RNSs on the site this morning, website this morning. At five, Zenith Energy, ZEN, AGM results and adoption of advance notice policy. At four, MySquare, MYSQ, casual game platform soft launch. At three, Proxarma, PROX, that's new partnership. At two, Ascent Resources, AST, operational update regarding well PG10. And number one, the most liked RNS on the Vox Markets platform today was a release by PVR, Providence Resources, a license update for the Southern Porcupine Basin. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.